the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son,
praise the Spirit, three in one.
God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame.
Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint.
By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King.
Thank you, ladies. He is all deserving of our praise. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. As I shared with you earlier that this past week I had the privilege of going to what's called the CORE Conference, C-O-R-E, a conference on revival and evangelism. Tom Farrell heads that up with Byron Fox here in Virginia. There was Jeff Redlin at Pensacola Christian College, the campus pastor there. Scott Pauley is evangelist. Great job, I thought, in his speaking. Jim Shetler out of West Coast Baptist College, vice president there and teacher. A lot of good men that were there, the speakers. I was blessed to be able to sit and hear them as they brought messages to my own heart. And ideas and plans that we can implement as well. But with it, they had, of course, with being 2020, a vision also as a theme there. And as I said, a lot of churches are going with the theme of vision this year being 2020. And I've seen some that I've already heard about, vision of God. There's some have a vision of ministry and service. Some have a vision of missions. Some have a vision of marriage and the home. Some have emphasizing a vision of the lost. There are a lot of emphasis out there on vision this year. And I felt the Lord impressed upon me that we would emphasize a vision of God's Word. And the reason for that is, my question is, where do we get a vision of God? Right here in His Word. It's all about Him. Where do we get a vision of missions? Where do we get a vision for the lost? Where do we get a vision for marriage and the home? It all comes right out of God's Word. And so if we have a proper vision of God's Word, we're going to have a proper vision of God and the ministries that He wants us involved in and the areas of life that are so important for us to have correct in our lives. And so that's where I'm coming from with that. And what I do not mean by that, a vision of God's Word is not a clear sight of the Bible laying on your coffee table. Okay? That's not a vision of God's Word. Vision of God's Word is when we look in close inspection to what God says in His Word. That's a vision of God's Word. In James 1:25, it says, "Whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty." The perfect law of liberty is a reference there to the Scriptures, to the Word of God. And the word there, "whoso looketh," that word "looketh" there is a Greek word that means to stoop down and to look very closely at. And that's what it takes there to get a vision of God's Word, of what I'm speaking of there, to take the time and put forth the effort to look closely at what God's Word says there that we may understand it. I think it involves paying close attention to the things that are given, because there's both corporate type of presentation of God's Word, like preaching that we have here today. There's also private, as you have the Word of God in your home, in your hands, it personally, and that you can look into the Word of God and can study it themselves. I've been kind of, you know, from time to time a little bit discouraged when I think about this, but I've been told that in preaching in such to an audience like you, that you don't necessarily remember everything that I say. Ashley said that's why she writes it down. And for some people, it does good to write things down. Other people, if they're writing things down, they're not listening to the next thing that's being said. Depends on what kind of learner you are. But you need to learn what kind of learner you are and then concentrate upon learning the best that you can. One guy put it this way, and it really discouraged me. He says, "Preaching is like me taking a gallon bucket of water here and throwing it out and you sitting out there with a thimble catching it." Oh, boy, that hurt. I thought, what a great effort I'm putting forth to put these messages together and to present all of this to have you come away with a thimbleful. But I hope that that's not conducive of what our church is like. I hope that you've been taught and have learned and grown enough that you are receiving a lot more than that and you're concentrating to learn. Sitting here in this auditorium while I preach does not mean anything unless you're concentrating to hear what God's Word says and to leave out of here with the intention of doing those things in which God says. And Jesus had the great question there, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You know, just to know what the Bible says and to say Jesus is my Lord don't mean much if we're not doing what He says. So all of that's important as we look at a close inspection of what God's Word says. Now, I'm going to share 2 points today, and that's it. Excuse me. One is an improper vision, and you know what the other one is, a proper. So let's ask God's blessing as we look. Father, help us. Help me to be able to share very clearly what you've laid upon my heart from your word. Help us to understand it May your Holy Spirit open our eyes to see and have a vision of what your word says to us today about this particular subject. For it should be implemented in our life every day that we live. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. An improper vision here. Something that you should be aware of that you can affect your life there when it comes to having spiritual vision. It's illustrated, if I could use just for a moment, of an infant, a baby that's born. I'm told, I don't know this myself, but I'm told that when an infant is born, that they have very short eye focus sight. They're extremely nearsighted. Matter of fact, I'm told that it's only about 10 to 18 inches or so that they really focus on. That's why it's important to hold your infant there, because they're focusing primarily upon your face. So that's about as far as they can see to focus very well. Even at 2 months, I'm told that it's only about 2 feet to 5 feet that they really focus well in. The point being this, a newborn babe does not have very much vision as far as focus, to be able to see, to understand, to be able to discern what they're looking at. Here, with that illustration in mind, the author of Hebrews speaks to us about that illustration at the end of chapter 5 here of Hebrews, beginning there in verse 10. It says that here, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom is speaking about Jesus Christ, that is called after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. Now, in our Sunday night Bible study with our adults, we've already studied this part, and they know what that means. All right, they're going to answer here for me. I'm sweating this one now. But what does dull of hearing mean? Slow is a good guess. There is another translation of the Greek word in chapter 6 in verse 12 where it says that ye be not slothful. Same word, slothful. What does slothful mean? Lazy. When we look up here about being dull of hearing and slothful, you get the idea there are some lazy listeners. Now, what is a lazy listener? A lazy listener is the opposite of what I just described a while ago, of someone that's taking the time and putting forth the effort to get down and to really concentrate upon what God's Word is saying when they're reading it themselves, or when it's being preached, that they are concentrating 100% on what is being said and what God's Word says there to them. In other words, they're not sitting here half-hearted in during the message time. You know, I know that we have some extremely smart and talented people in our church. And some of you are convinced that you are a class A multitasker. And you tell God, God, I don't have to give you 100% of my attention, because I can play this game, or I can look on social media, or I can do this on the web, or, you know, and listen to you just fine. And God says, well, wait a minute. What about whatsoever you do, do it heartily? Am I listening heartily unto the Lord, or am I listening half-heartedly? Now, you maybe say, hey, I can listen and I can do this and I can get both of them. I'm here today to tell you that's not true. Matter of fact, if you want to meet with me after church today, I can prove it to you with you. I'll give you a poem to read, and I'll read you a poem, a different one, at the same time, and I'm going to ask you questions about them, and I guarantee you, you will not be able to answer about both of those poems. You see, when you're listening to one thing, you're not concentrating that much on the other. Or when you start concentrating on the other, you're not listening that well. So you've got to make the decision, am I going to be a lazy listener, or am I going to put forth the effort to concentrate 100% on what God is saying? A choice is yours. Enough said. And so we have here this lazy listener's problem there. And then it goes on to say in verse 12 there, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now milk is the simple thing, the first principles of the Word of God, and strong meat is those things that are deeper. So the question is, are you a surface dweller? All you do is skim the light things, the easy things, the first things of God's Word in the relationship with Him, or are you into the deeper things of God? It has nothing to do with your ability. It has nothing to do with your smartness. Because God has said for us to do it. If He's called us to do it, faithful is He that calleth you, who also we'll see how He will do it in just a minute. And so we have here these two positions there, those that are taking milk only and those that are able to do strong meat. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? A babe. Keep that in mind. A baby with not much insight of vision. Not much discernment in focus. Let's see it in the scripture. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That means mature. Even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to, what's the next word? That's the word vision. That's the word there to see, to understand, to discern what's right and wrong. There's some people that they cannot discern between right and wrong very well because they're still a babe when it comes to spiritual walk with the Lord. Now, we all start out as a babe, okay? We're born again. We are at that new birth. We become a child of God. But God doesn't want us to stay as a babe. He wants us to mature, as we'll see. So here we have this situation where we cannot discern because we're not listening very carefully and we're not learning very much. We're just getting the surface area. We're not really getting into the deep things. And we don't have a lot of discernment. Don't have a lot of vision. First Corinthians 14 and verse 20 says, brethren, be not children, that's that Greek word babe, be not children in understanding. That's the word discernment, vision. Howbeit in malice, evil, be children, but in understanding, be men, be mature. And so God wants us to be mature when it comes to our discernment, our understanding. And He has given us His Word to open our eyes to understand and have that discernment that He wants us to have. Over how does God, or what does God want for us as babes there as we start out? Remember in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 where it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. All right, that's not saying as newborn babes, you need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. I mean, we should as newborn babes. But as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, why? For what purpose? That they may grow thereby, as the verse goes on to say. God doesn't want any of us staying right there as a babe. God doesn't want any of us staying right there on the milk of His Word. That's why even here in Hebrews chapter 5, as you get to the end of the chapter, what does he say in the next chapter there? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection, to completion, to maturity. And so God desires that we move on from those things and not lay again just those simple things. Not that we don't ever discuss them. I discuss salvation about every message. But I don't just get up and preach salvation messages, because that's not where we are. Do you know that majority of the people in this room right here now already are saved? There may be one or two or three or four or so here that are not genuinely saved. But for the most part, you are. And God's principle is for us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And once they're saved, then they're to come into the church and they're to grow. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says there that he gave some pastors and evangelists and pastors and teachers there for the perfecting of the saints, equipping of the saints there for the work of the ministry, etc., till we all come there with the knowledge of God, the Son of God, to understand what that stature of Christ is, looks like. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, be no more babes, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men, the trickster of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. We wouldn't be children that can be easily deceived into wrong teaching. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him, unto Jesus Christ in all things. God wants us to come into the church and hear the truth of God's word, that we may grow up spiritually and not remain to be a babe in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Those in the youth group there, y'all know, y'all have studied, y'all have memorized this. Study to do what? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because you're rightly dividing the word of truth. You're rightly discerning what God's word says. And the word study means put forth effort. Put forth the effort to rightly divide, understand God's truth. It doesn't just happen. You've got to put forth the effort. You've got to concentrate. You've got to get down and look close to see what it means and what you're to do with it. That's private study. In here is public study. We need both of it. What has God done to help us? Well, he has given us what we call, what I call, a resident truth teacher. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have told you." Whatever I've said unto you. God, the Lord Jesus Christ said, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within you, and he is going to help you understand the things that I have said unto you. He'll help you to understand. There's not a Christian out here that does not have that Holy Spirit and that promise. Every one of us do. That's why I said it's nothing about how smart we are, how talented we are to learn. But God, through his Holy Spirit, can help every one of us. Don't let the devil talk you out of doing what God has promised that he'll help you to do. He wants us to focus with a vision into his word there. God gives the Spirit. We must give the study. It's two parts. Then the second thing, that's the improper. The second thing is the proper vision. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We all live in a wicked, perverse world. Do you agree? Yes. It's getting worse. Paul's told Timothy in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, there, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Then he begins to describe what that time is like. I believe we're living in that time today. And he said there in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He said it's going to continue to get worse. And we see that as well. And let me tell you something, it's going to continue to get worse. How do I know that? God said it. I understand that. But notice what he says next to Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child, that's the word babe. Matter of fact, it's the word babe there that means a babe in the mother's womb. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Let me ask you something. How early did Timothy's mother and grandmother start reading the Scriptures to him? While he was in the womb. Parents, could I say something to you? I may ask you. How soon should you start reading and speaking the truth of God's Word to your child? While he's in the womb. He can hear in the womb. How do we know that? Well, we don't have to say because science tells us so. We know that from Scripture. You remember when Gabriel appeared there to Mary and said, you're going to have a child of the Holy Ghost, and the Lord Jesus, prophesied for his birth there. And he told her that your cousin also is expecting. And she went to visit Elizabeth, and when she got there and gave her salutation, what did the babe in Elizabeth's belly do? He leaped for joy there. He heard. He heard. Start teaching, even when they're in your womb. Excuse me. It's never too early. Then Paul reminded Timothy of what helps us continue faithfully, as he said there in verse 14, continue in the things which you've learned. How do we continue faithfully in this wicked world? Excuse me a second here again. My cough hasn't gone away, unfortunately. How are we continuing this wicked world there? Well, we're told there in verse 16, in the end of verse 15 there, that you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I could preach a whole message on the inspiration of God, inspiration of Scriptures. It just simply means God breathed there. God controlled, the Holy Spirit controlled the men that wrote in Scripture that they would write exactly what God wanted to be communicated to the very words that they used. God controlled that so that we know that we have God's Word given to us. We have a confidence in it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God, here's the purpose, may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, there are three things that he has given here to help us. Number one is found in verse 15 there, that the Word of God is powerful, which are able. Which are able. That's exactly what it is. The word able there is the word dunamaya. We get the word what? Dynamite. Powerful. Which are able. And that powerful word of God that is given in verse 16 by the inspiration of God is profitable, he says. What's it profitable for? Or for doctrine. That's the teachings. That's the telling us. The things that are right, discerning from right and wrong. There are people today that are trying to tell you that there is no right and wrong. That it's all there, you have your right and I have my right. And you believe what you want and I'll believe what I want. Hogwash. There is a God, and there is a God that determines what's right and wrong. And one day, every individual is going to stand before that God, and they're going to give an account. And he is not going to take any of this foolishness that I thought I was right because I thought it. But he's going to say, well, I gave you my word that described and defined what was right and what was wrong. That's the teachings, the doctrine. And not only is it profitable there for the teachings, for the doctrine there, but for reproof. That is to confront when we're wrong. God's word confronts my heart when I am wrong. I thank the Lord for it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And as I've explained before, he don't have to do that for his knowledge. He already knows. The psalmist was asking that for his own knowledge. Lord, search me and let me know where I'm wrong. And that's what he does. Reproof. For correction, that tells me how to straighten out what I've done wrong when I realize that I've done wrong. How to correct it. And then for instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right. How not to fall into the same trap again. That's what God's word is profitable for. Not only is it profitable there, but it's purposeful that, here's the purpose, the man of God may be, what's the word? Perfect, complete, mature. That's what we've been talking about. Not a babe, but mature. Thoroughly furnished, completely, fully equipped unto all good works. Good works is not just in there as a side thought. But maturity is going to demonstrate that maturity. Maturity is going to demonstrate that faith that they have that's growing by good works. The good works is going to be demonstrated as we show them and as we share them. Let me explain the difference. As we show them, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to demonstrate our faith, our maturity, as we do the good works that we may glorify God as other people see them. Now, we're not doing them to see them so they'll pat us on the back and say, hey, what a good job you're doing. Or you have your reward. But we're doing it as unto the Lord. And others see, and they glorify God because of it. That's demonstrating there to show. But there's also demonstrating to share. And that is to encourage others. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, somewhere right in there, he says that we're to provoke one another unto love and to good works. As I've said before, we got the provoking down pretty good. Well, not in the negative sense. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that we encourage one another into love and into good works. That's showing. That's sharing, rather. That shows us what the importance is. Now, how do we make God's word our vision for 2020? So we see the importance of it. How do we make God's word our vision for 2020? And here's the last three things I'll share with you. Don't close your Bibles. Don't close your mind. Keep on concentrating. Three questions. Number one, how do we have a vision for God's word? I gave it to you at the very beginning. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty by taking a close look into what God's word says, putting forth the effort. It's also said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, our sanctification verse. Everybody ought to know this. This is where you live every day of your life as a believer. If you don't know this verse, you ought to memorize it, because this is what goes on every day. It's supposed to be going on every day in your life. What does it say? For it says there in verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now stop right there. What is the glass? It's the mirror of God's word here. We all with an open face. What does that mean? We don't use that terminology today. There were folks in the Middle East, though, that had veils over their face. The ladies did. It means to have an unveiled face. In other words, there's nothing in the way for me being able to focus on what God's Word says. I am removing the veil. I'm removing anything that's taking my attention. I'm removing anything that distracts so that I may concentrate upon the mirror of God's Word, that I may see the glory of the Lord, because it's all in Scripture right here. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they that testify of me." That was the Old Testament that he was talking about. How much more the New Testament? It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the glory of the Lord, and we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Holy Spirit of God. And so when we remove the veil there, and we stoop down and we put forth the effort to look and concentrate upon what God's Word says, we see the glory of the Lord. And like Isaiah there in Isaiah 6 in verse 1, where he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the seraphim cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." And he saw himself, and he says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I have missed the mark, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And when we see that, and we see the glory of God, and we see how we've fallen short, then we can submit to the Holy Spirit, and he can change us into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. That's what God wants to do in your heart every day of your life as a believer. But he can't do it if we're not lifting the veil and focusing in his Word. That's our part. When should we have a vision of the Word? What's the answer? Daily. Daily. If the only time you ever eat physical food is on Sunday, you're going to be in bad shape. Not going to have energy. Not going to have strength. You're going to be sickly. If the only time you ever get the Word of God, your physical, your spiritual food, is on Sunday, you got it. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for when they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so." They received the Word of God. They had the preaching there. And then they went out daily and they looked over that and looked over that and looked over that to see how God's Word supported it. Daily. How should we respond to the vision of God's Word internally and externally there? We ought to receive it as such. We ought to believe it. Our time is going here, so listen carefully. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when they received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe." They received it as God's Word. They believed it. They believed it, and it effectively worked in it. It had energy, had power to work within them. And then externally, demonstrating it. You remember the song that we sing with our children a lot of times? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Internally, we believe it. Externally, we demonstrate that we believe it by obedience. Simple. Simple. James 1:25, "But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty," we've seen. It goes on to say, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Full circle. We are to hear. We're to search. We're to believe. But we're to obey. To do those things in which he says. You can't do what you don't know, but if you don't do what you do know, it's just as bad. Let that sink in. James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So will you commit with me in 2020 to maintain a vision of God and his Word? By looking closely into God's Word, by looking closely in his Word daily, and by believing and receiving it and demonstrating it by our obedience. And as I said, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have a vision of God until you put on the glasses. By put on the glasses, I mean there in the illustration there of getting saved. God opens our eyes to be able to see, to understand. There's so many people that say, I read God's word, I don't understand anything about it. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God living with them. They've never been saved. They may be believing God, they may believe in Jesus Christ, but they've never made a choice to receive Jesus Christ. You got to make the choice. Christian, we've got to make the observation, the evaluation. Just in a moment, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. My instructions with that is open to anybody that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and there's nothing between you and the Lord. But Paul warns us, and he says, do not partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. And explains what that means. It means that let a man examine himself to see if there's any sin, and then deal with that sin, and then let him observe the Lord's Supper together. We need to take this time right now, and as a believer, we need to deal with any sin that God has brought to our mind by repenting of it and confessing it to the Lord, and he'll forgive us. And we'll be in right standing and observe the Lord's Supper together. That means every one of us that observe the Lord's Supper, we ought to be perfect at that moment. Because there's nothing between. There's no outstanding sin. We have turned everything over to him and confessed it and dealt with it. And I hope that's what you will do right now. Every head bow, please. Prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper, believer. If you're lost in here today, prepare yourself to meet God. You need to make that choice first. And for every one of us, I pray that we would make the choice to have a vision of God in his word every day, to commit to get into God's word, to remove the things that distract us, that we may look deeply into what it says. We'll put forth that effort, thanking God for the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, I pray that that's the heart of each one of us for 2020 and for right now in this day. Help us with those thoughts as we prepare our hearts before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.